So is Sunday a day you look forward to? Is it a day that you look forward to? I mean, it can be a day where the routine is different, life-giving. A day when the regular chores and activities are set aside and room is created for activities that nurture spirit and community, reflection, relaxation, fellowship. But it can also be a day that is simply used to take pressure off the rest of the week, a day to catch up on chores and complete neglected tasks, grab the week's groceries, mow the front lawn, read through accumulated emails, and pay outstanding bills. Don't forget to throw in Sunday worship. So is Sunday a day that you look forward to? And maybe more importantly, how do you feel when the day is over? Are you rested and ready for another week? If your answer is no, then you should pay a close attention to the sermons this month. Over the next three Sundays, we will be looking at the provision of the Sabbath and what keeping it could mean for our living. Now, many of us are aware that observing the Sabbath is one of those Big Ten rules, the Ten Commandments, the commandments that were written by the finger of God. It is, in fact, the fourth commandment, squeezed between those ones about loving God and loving each other and expressing a little of both. Unlike the other commandments, which are terse in expression, this commandment is rather wordy. In fact, it tells us how to apply the law and why we should bother anyhow. How do we observe the Sabbath? We are told that one day a week we shouldn't be working. More than that, we shouldn't be causing others to work. Neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your male or female servant, nor your ox, your donkey, or any of your animals, nor any foreigners residing in your towns. Why? So that your male and female servants may rest as you do. Maybe something to think about the next time you ask your children or grandchildren if they've practiced their piano or finished their homework Sunday evening. Maybe something to think about when you're scheduling landscaping services for your yard. But more than just doing nothing, the commandment offers us something in replacement. We are told to remember. It's right there in the commandment. Remember. We are enjoined today to remember, recall, recollect, and recreate. We are not simply to remember that we ought to keep the Sabbath, but we are to remember who God is, active and loving beyond our actions and resources. Well, that's a bit about how the Sabbath is to be applied. As for the reason for Sabbath keeping, two different rationale are provided. When the commandments are first given at Mount Sinai, shortly after Israel's escape from Egypt, the keeping of Sabbath is grounded in God's own rest from creation. You'll find that in the book of Exodus. But when the commandments are repeated by Moses 40 years later, as Israel's preparing to enter the promised land, there is a new rationale. A keeping of the Sabbath is grounded in God's rescue and provision of freedom. That's what we read today. Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand. Well, today we encounter the fourth commandment. More than that, we are given its how and its why. Given all this help, it's interesting to realize that of all the commandments, it's the one that we are the quickest to dismiss. In her book, Receiving the Day, church historian Dorothy Bass reflects on a Saturday evening dinner she spent with other professors. She was sitting around the table with other colleagues Saturday evening, and all were whining about the grading they had to do the next day. Sunday. Suddenly it struck her that Christians would never tell each other, "You know, I'm thinking tomorrow I'll go commit adultery, or maybe I'll steal something." Right? So why do we feel fine about dismissing our Creator's commandment to keep the Sabbath holy? Why don't we keep the Sabbath holy? Well, I think there are a handful of reasons. I mean, despite those admonitions of how to keep it, I mean, stop working, stop making others work, we're not quite sure how Sabbath applies to us in a post-resurrection world. We now celebrate it on the eighth day instead of the seventh, a day that anticipates not just what God has done, but what God is doing, the new creation. We are also impacted by our own experiences of rather legalistic Sabbath keeping. Now, some may look back romantically to childhoods with cold porridge for breakfast, no sports or card games, and church twice on Sundays, but not everyone experienced this as life-giving. But maybe most of all, we are influenced by our 24/7 working culture, a culture that is both anxious and ambitious. We are afraid to stop, even for a day, lest, well, we get behind on our work. We get worse marks. We lose opportunities that ongoing work and achievement and success provide. Now, this last reason is probably the most persuasive, and the results are, well, tragic. Tragic because the very people God has designed for freedom in the end become slaves or become taskmasters. We become the Pharaoh that God challenged or the people that baked bricks under the sun. I mean, just think about it. There was no Sabbath in Egypt. There wasn't a Sabbath for anyone. I mean, no work stoppage for Pharaoh, who worked day and night to stay atop the pyramid. There had been no work stoppage for the slaves, because they had to gather straw during their time off. No stoppage for anyone in that entire system, because frantic productivity drove it all. God had freed the people of Israel from this slavery, and God would have us live in this freedom. I mean, he gave us the very first labor laws to prevent us from returning to slavery. God gave us the Sabbath, a day to stop and ponder the world around us, a day to recognize the unearned blessings that have been given to us, a day to realize that, well, our household, our work, our family life won't go to hell without us. God gave us a Sabbath, time to temper our own anxieties and ambitions with the realization that just as God provided for the people of Israel when they were languishing in Egypt, God will also provide for us. So are you living in this freedom? I mean, the reality is you can be a slave working back-to-back shifts in the factory, and you can also be a slave sitting in the office of your 5,000-square-foot home. A person who is free is the one who can step back from their work, can step back and realize that they've been created for something more. But to be able to do this, and to do this well, you have to practice it regularly. So think again, is Sunday the Sunday you are living? Is it a day that you look forward to? And how do you feel when that Sunday you are living is over? Rested or completely frayed? Maybe it's time to reconsider this commandment God gave for our freedom. How might your Sundays start becoming a little bit different? And how might this impact the rest of your week?